In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. I want to talk about the second reading that is usually read for a feast of the Theotokos, such as this one, the Nativity of the Theotokos, the reading from Ezekiel. It's about the ever-virginity of the Theotokos. The Church has always understood it to mean this, and it's just part of our consciousness. It's not part of the consciousness of a large amount of people, especially in a place like America, that call themselves Christians. And I want to think just for a moment about what we're celebrating. Sort of not the exact particulars, but sort of the feeling that I have when I celebrate things like the presentation or the birth of the Theotokos, the conception of the Theotokos. These are things which happen basically in obscurity. The world didn't know much about them at all. And they're holy things. They were part of the preparation for the coming of the Messiah. And they were something that happened that was momentous, that the world did not take notice of. Of course, the world didn't take much notice of the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ either, or for that matter, his death and his resurrection. And when we celebrate the Theotokos feasts, I feel this lack in myself, much more so than when we celebrate feasts of the Lord. And I guess that's because the Theotokos, as a mortal human being, became holy. Now the Lord, Jesus Christ, God and man, is already holy. So he's not like us completely, because he's God as well as man. But the Theotokos is like us completely, because she's completely human and nothing but human. And that's what we are, nothing but human. Now she's a regenerated human being. She's a human being according to the measure of the stature of Jesus Christ. But her stuff is the same as us. And Jesus' stuff is not the same as us. And so one can perhaps in their mind think, well, you know, I can't be as holy as Christ. That's always going to be a true statement. No matter what we do, no matter how holy we become, we'll never be as holy as God. It's an impossibility. To be as holy as God, we'd have to be God. But the Theotokos attained holiness as a human being, even during her earthly sojourn. It's, of course, very much accelerated by the birth of Jesus Christ and her parturition of the 9 months of the Lord in her womb changed her forever. So she, more than the Lord, and the saints, more than the Lord, are showing us what we can become. The Lord made it possible for us to become these things. But we see the evidence of it in the saints, especially in the Mother of God. And I feel a sense, I guess, of regret, shame, hopefulness, wonder when I celebrate the Feast of the Theotokos, because she's just a regular human being who became holy because she said yes to God and never said no. And her imprint, her personality is on the Church. She mentored the disciples and the apostles, and they learned from her. These were hidden things, things that are not written down, but they have profoundly affected the universe. And so we should cultivate this love and desire for holiness in our hearts and look to the Theotokos as an example, not only an example that it can be done, but also how to do it. So when you ask her intercessions, ask for her wisdom too, because she has much wisdom. So let's talk about the reading from Ezekiel and how it points to the ever-virginity of the Mother of God. It speaks of that there is an eastern gate that faces east, and it was shut. There was a vision that Ezekiel saw. And it was shut. And then the Lord said unto me, This gate shall be shut, and it shall not be opened, and no man shall enter by it, because the Lord, the God of Israel, hath entered by it. Therefore it shall be shut. That's about the incarnation. This gate is the womb of the Theotokos. And it shall be shut, no man shall enter by it, which is indicating, really in a kind of a graphic way, the ever-virginity of the Theotokos. Now, why is this important to us? It's not important to an awful lot of people that call themselves Christian. It's very important to us. Because the whole point of your life is to become holy. It's not just to believe stuff. It's just not to know doctrine. I know somebody who's all into doctrine. That's not doing him much good. It's not about doctrine. It's about holiness. It's about the heart changing to become like God so that we can be united with God, so that we can have the wisdom and the knowledge of God and be in his light forever. That's what life is all about. And so these examples of holiness in the scripture, we should take to heart. Really, when you read this and you think of the holiness of the Theotokos, you should rebuke yourself, thinking, I should be like that. You should. Each one of us should be like that. Why aren't we? Why do we let mundane things get in the way of holiness? Why do we get bored? Why do we get angry? Why do we get irritable? Why do we get lazy? Why do we get obstinate? We shouldn't. The whole point of our life is holiness. So these examples of holiness are very important. And like I said, the example of the Lord's holiness, that's far above us. But the example of the holiness of the saints, that's happened. That's right for us to see. That's why we spend so much time speaking about the saints and why we preserve their lives and why we commemorate them on the calendar. Because they've done what we're trying to do. And the Theotokos above all. And it's important to understand why the Theotokos is ever virgin. It's a dogma of our church. She's ever virgin. Because she bore our Lord Jesus Christ. God was within her womb for 9 months. You think there might have been some changes in her heart when that happened? Any woman can tell you that having a baby is a indescribable experience. Having life within your own body, knowing that there is a human soul and a body being formed, and having this sort of communication with one another, knowing when the baby is awake and asleep, and the baby is playful or restless. It's this profound experience. Now that baby was the God-man, Jesus Christ. Why would she want to do anything mundane afterwards? It makes no sense whatsoever. Now this argument doesn't work for someone who loves doctrine. And someone who's been taught, you know, not to have anything that looks like anything like the Pope talks about. Throw all that stuff out. Well, I'll admit some of the stuff the Pope would talk about, the Theotokos, I'd throw out too. But not that she's ever virgin. That's always been part of the church's understanding. Just doesn't make any sense that she would have children afterwards, because she'd been profoundly changed by the experience. This prophecy here is about her virginity. There's a couple other ones in the scripture. And of course, someone can talk away these and come up with some other explanation. But the church never thought there was another explanation. So we don't. What I would ask you to try to do during feast days like this, especially, let's admit it, it's Sunday afternoon, we've had a long weekend, we've had vigil the previous night, and liturgy, and a long day, and we're tired, and the work day is ahead of us, the work week is ahead of us. So this is an act of love to come out and to worship on this day, and to meditate, and to kind of muse on and to kind of treasure in our heart about the holiness of the Theotokos, and to have this ache in our heart that says we should be holy too. Why not? And this desire that springs up in our heart to be holy. Of course, I don't think anyone, it's clear no one can become holy as the Theotokos, but we can come pretty close. We can get a whole lot closer to her holiness than God's holiness. So, when you participate in feasts like this, they are historical events. We're commemorating a historical event, her birth, her miraculous birth of a barren woman. But we're also commemorating that she epitomizes that man can become holy. And so there should be this sense of almost like you're looking, you're being given the benefit of looking at something that is beautiful, that the whole world does not see. Like some beautiful painting that is discovered, and you see it, and the whole world doesn't even know about it. So, that's kind of the feeling that I have when I celebrate these feasts. It's not just facts, historical facts and liturgical flourishes and poetry about the Mother of God. It's us standing here saying to ourselves, I want to be like that. That's what it's all about. The Theotokos is ever virgin and the Theotokos is holy, and we are to strive to walk in her footsteps, in the footsteps of the saints, the ones that fought the good fight and finished the course. The blessing of the Lord be upon you through his grace and love for mankind, always, now, and ever, and unto the ages of ages.